Cool. So I'm going to share something this morning. And I'm going to, really what I'm going to do is I'm going to declare times and seasons. So who knows in the Old Testament where the Lord speaks about people who understood the times and the seasons? Who knows who were the people? There was a specific group of people. Yes, who said that? The sons of Issachar. Yeah, it is. Actually, my Bible. You can turn to 1 Chronicles 12. Okay, 1 Chronicles 12, at home you can read the whole section, 23 to 40. So it says, these were the numbers of the divisions that were equipped for war that came to David at Hebron, and then it names them. It says, sons of Simeon, Zadok, etc., etc. And then when you get down to verse 32, it says, of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200, etc. So the Lord speaks about different groups of people, and then he says, there's this group, the sons of Issachar, and they had the understanding of the times to know what Israel should do. So as I've been just praying, and over the last few months, also just things that the Lord has been speaking to me, and in preparing this week, it kind of came together for me. And really, I'm not really preaching this morning. I'm really prophesying. And praise the Lord, there's such a thing as prophetic preaching. But I just want to, I saw a lot of things coming together, and all I want to do this morning is, and I want to put that before you, and I'm going to work it a bit backwards now, so I'm going to start with the end. See, if you have your Bible, you can go to Hebrews 4. I think I'm going to start by telling you why I'm going to tell you all these things. Then you'll listen better. So Hebrews 4 speaks about rest. So I don't know if you're aware, but God actually commands us to rest. Did you know that? Some people are not inclined to rest. And in today's times, rest is not regarded as valuable. It's regarded as valuable to be busy. You know, when you ask someone how they're doing, the most common thing people say is, I'm so busy. And it's true, and I also say that because I am often just so busy. But it's just the problem of our time, and it's not really, if you think about the life of Jesus, do you find that Jesus was late often, that he worried about being late, that he had to worry about making appointments? Do you find that he ran to places to be quicker, to like push something extra into the day? This was amazing for me as a student. This is the thing I realized. God spoke to me about the Sabbath. And as a student, I took every Sunday as a Sabbath. So Saturday morning at 12 till Sunday morning at 12, I didn't work. I just had fun and went to church. And I often went to the Botanical Garden and I spent time with God, but I just did not open my books. And I studied engineering, and the course was very hard. And we often had tests on Mondays. And I just decided that I would not compromise. So I would have to finish studying by Saturday at 12. Or I would have to get up Monday at 4. but I just never compromised on the Sunday. And it really changed my life. I believe it really brought me to a much healthier place. And it set a much healthier pace for my life. But God actually commands us to rest. And, and that was such a revelation to me, to think about the life of Jesus. And Jesus is our great example. Jesus doesn't live rushed or always out of time or always stretched. If God has a specific plan for us, and God is so involved in our lives, and God actually plans out our days, and if we follow that, then actually there would be no rush, because God is not, he doesn't put more into a day that you can do. And God is not surprised by anything that's going to happen. And actually rest is so important for us. I mean, even in creation, God rested when he was creating. I cannot think that something that God does and needs, we can't need. So you can read the whole Hebrews 4, but especially verse 11 I want to read. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. So if you read the first bit of Hebrews 4, it says, therefore a promise remains of entering his rest. Let us fear lest any of us have sinned to come short of it. And if you go down to verse 9, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his work as God did from his. And there's a whole theology around that about not striving, etc. But there's just one point I want to make today. And it's the beginning almost of holidays. For some of us, we aren't really on holidays. Some of us are going to be on holidays soon. Not everyone thinks of holidays as a time of rest. Who thinks of holidays as rest? Okay, most at least. Who often needs to rest after a holiday? Yes. Because you just packed in everything. Just didn't sleep and just had another social and another social and drove to another town. And you know, in the natural, it just depends on personality, what works for you. Some people like to rest by lying down. Some people like to rest by jogging or being at the beach or being with friends. That's just in the natural, and it's good for you to figure out what's your way. But really, the conclusion for me of what I want to say today is I want to urge you to diligently enter God's rest this holiday. Who has gone through a whole holiday and not rested? Who's gone through a holiday and tried to rest as in you lie down, you slept late, you watched movies, you ate popcorn, you did all kinds of things, but after the holiday, your spirit is not rested? Okay, most of us. So I want to urge you now, and I really feel this urging from the Lord. I want to urge you to diligently enter into his rest. And I want to urge you to rest in your spirit. And of course, the way to rest in your spirit is to be connected to God. And you find your way to do that. Like Dora said, pray as if you're in the prayer room, even though the prayer room is not open. Good time for you to have a prayer room in your house, by yourself, with your friends. But to really find that place, do not deceive yourself in thinking that just the lying around or the whatever it is that your thing is necessarily going to equate to rest. But I believe the Lord is really going to give us, if we are diligent to enter into it. So you know what that diligence means. It's that, okay, I've slept late, I get up, and then it's like, what am I going to do today? And it's like, I should have quiet time, but I have the whole day. So I'm just going to do it later. And I'm just going to put on a series. And I'm just going to watch a series. And like after the series, I'm going to have a quiet time. And then it's like, oh, no, let's make something to eat. I'm just going to do it later. And then it's like 1 a.m. eventually. And you haven't had your quiet time. And you think you've rested all day. But you actually haven't. And you're actually going backwards. Now you've watched too much series. And you've gone to bed too late. Now the next day, you're actually more tired. And you sleep a little bit later. The cycle just regresses. So to be diligent to enter his rest, it's this, no, when the first opportunity is there, let's just realize the best rest is going to be in God's presence. And for me, what I like to do is also, I really like to, how I rest in God is to put on worship music and just lie on my back with my eyes closed and not put anything on me that I have to do. I don't have to read my Bible. I don't have to pray for someone. I don't even have to pray. But I'm going to put the music on because that helps me. Actually, I sometimes do it. I like to do it outside as well. And then I don't have music. Like I like to be in a pretty place like with trees or whatever. Just lie down. And I just let myself become aware of God's presence. I'm just present to him. You know, it's like when you're in love with someone and you're in the sitting room and the person that you're in love with comes into the sitting room and sits there. What if there's like a half an hour and you don't say anything? Is it the same as the person not being there? No, it's massively different. But if you haven't said anything to each other, why is it different? If there wasn't like a, you know, constructive conversation or something that you can tick off a list, because you were in each other's presence and in relationship and in connection, presence is valuable. It's incredibly valuable. So, for instance, that's for me a way to rest in my spirit. It's just to find time to be in God's presence and not put pressure on myself to achieve anything, but just to be with him. You know, when Jesus calls the disciples, he says, he called them that they might be with him and then that they might take out the word. So whatever your calling is, primarily your calling is to be with him. That's what Jesus says. He called them out to be with him and then, you know, whatever else. But firstly, your calling is to be with him. So actually, lying on your back, doing nothing but being in his presence is you operating in your calling. So if you were tempted to feel it's a waste of time, there's a good biblical backing for you. So I believe the Lord really wants us to diligently enter his rest. And why I'm going to just share with you what I believe the times and the seasons are is I think what the Lord is putting before us is this opportunity to, as we rest through the holiday, to let this work through in us, in our spirit. And I'm going to tell you three things that I think the Lord is doing and that he's going to be, that he started doing already, that he's going to be doing next year. And when I've told you this and you rest in the holiday, these are the things that you'll be able to do. It will be in your spirit and you'll be in your mind and in your heart, and the Holy Spirit can just work it through with you and you can see where are you at. And thank you so much for the thank yous and the gift. I'm quite blown away that I don't have words really. It's very precious. Thank you so much. And I'm really, I was thinking even this morning, I'm just awed by God. Every moment, everything that happens for us as a congregation is such a testimony of God's faithfulness. And even this morning, thinking again about times and seasons and thinking of what God's done, and just, you know, having this picture of all of us. And, you know, who's here, been here more than 5 years? Okay, who's been here 4 years? 3, 2, 1, 6 months? And isn't that so awesome that each person, even if you are visiting today, do you know that your presence here is a contribution? Each person is a gift. And if you are visiting today, then you are a gift to us today. And whether it's your first service, whether you've been here 6 months, whether you've been here 7, 8 years, you're part of what the Lord is doing in a specific way. In a specific way, you have been part of it. And it's glorious because it is the Lord that is doing it. And it's just so amazing how he does it and how he brings it together. And there's so much to be thankful to him for in that. And I believe even as we rest over the holidays, it's a time where the Holy Spirit will stir in you also how you're going to go forward. And where is he at with you? You know, I always do this in Bible school. If you just close your eyes, think of your physical health and rate yourself 1 out of 10. How physically healthy are you? Think of things like, do you exercise? Do you eat well? Do you sleep well? Do you drink enough water? You know what? How to rate physical things. Okay, so open your eyes. Now, just have that sense of like how easy it was to rate yourself or how difficult. Now, close your eyes and think of your soul. Your soul is your thinking, your emotions, your heart, your will. Think how healthy is it, 1 out of 10. I mean, 1 to 10. So think, maybe someone is 1 out of 10. So think, you know, how emotional am I? How aware am I of my own emotions? Can I handle my own emotions? How's my thinking? Is my thinking aligned to the Word of God? What's going on in my mind? Am I taking authority? Okay, now open your eyes. Now think of, was that, for who is that easier to rate your mental health than your physical health? And for who is it easier to rate your physical health? That's quite common. Now close your eyes. Now rate your spiritual health. Okay, now open your eyes. So spiritual health, obviously you think of, am I connected to the Lord? Am I hearing his voice? Am I having quiet time? Am I worshiping? Do I feel like worshiping? Am I honest with him? Or am I pretending? Am I accountable? Am I serving? Do I love the church? Do I pray? And mostly what I find is that people find it extremely easy to rate their physical health. You can ask them, they can tell you straight away. When you ask about mental health, people sometimes have to think a little bit. But when you ask about spiritual health, it's like it sometimes takes people an hour. I don't know. It's like we don't think about it. And really what I'm going to encourage you over this holiday is to take some time to think about it. And just to raise your awareness of where you are at. And ask the Lord. You know, he has all the answers. And he will definitely tell you, the Lord, how is it going with me? ask your friends, how do you think it's going with me? Lord, what are you growing me in? Do you know what you are growing in at the moment? Do you know what you're challenged in? Do you know what the Lord wants you to focus on in the next while? Really some time to take some time to think into these things and chat with the Lord about it. And don't make it heavy. Just have a conversation with the Lord. And I'm sure that you're actually really going to enjoy it. Okay, so the sons of Issachar, they knew the times and the seasons. And what I want to say is the sense that I have is prophetically for the season is that things are coming together and things are coming to a point. So the words I had was divergence as a coming to a convergence, confluence, things coming to a point. Like a lot of things, and it's all like moving up a mountain and it's coming to a point. And the other idea I had, the thought that I had, picture the Lord showed me was a circle, closing, coming full circle. So I will share some things and you will have to see where you come into this picture, because some of the things are from long ago. Maybe you were not here yet. But one thing I wanted to share with you, which is incredibly encouraging to me, the other day the Lord reminded me that some years ago, I don't know when, all the intercessors in all the Shofar churches, there was this incredibly high amount of dreams about tsunamis. And every time it would be a tsunami is coming and some of the people see it and they get onto a building or a mountain and the tsunami comes and it wipes everything, but the ones who saw it are safe. And then afterwards there's always some kind of restoration. And I Googled my email, tsunami, and I tried to find when was it. So I found it's in 2013. It was between February and August. And there's I could find almost 30 different dreams that different people had all over Shofar with the same theme. And it because I was on a lot of intercession mail lists, and I also had one, and Raina also had one, and there was a whole lot of them, and even some which are not Shofar email lists, like Elijah's list or Revival list, they were there as well. And just what the Lord was reminding me this week was, and actually a few months now, I want to declare his faithfulness. The Bible says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals it to his servants, the prophets. And to a greater or lesser degree, in the last 3 or 4 years, a lot of people have gone through a tsunami. And for those of us who's been a while in Shofar, we've gone through a tsunami as a Shofar group. And of course, then there's various degrees in people's personal lives. And like Rena says, when will 2012 end? 2014, when will it end? It's like 2014 was a hard year. Then it's like, no, it's 2015, no, it's still 2014. 2016, no, it's still 2014. When can we get beyond 2014? Well, I believe we are going to get beyond it next year. Oh, amen. And I just want to declare, firstly, the Lord's faithfulness in giving those dreams, because at the time, no one understood what it meant. We had lots of interpretations. But I just sense the Lord's comfort in him saying that, you know, he couldn't, at the time, tell us everything that's going to happen, because then we might have run away. So he told it to us in a symbolic form, because he is faithful to prepare us. And now he reminds us of it, and we can look back and look at his faithfulness. Then I want to bring a few things together. Matthew, can you maybe bring the easel for me? I just put it at the back of this wall. Thanks. And the Lord is really reminding me this week of the memorial art, which is on the wall at the back, and you can look at it after the service. So it's about, I think, 2 years ago now. I don't know when it was now. That we made, was it the end of last year? Last year. We commissioned different artists and we made art which speaks of the seasons of our church. And thank you, Matthew. I just felt the Lord reminding me of it, and I'll read some of the descriptions. And I'm kind of, what I'm doing is I'm reminding us of things the Lord has done. And then I'm just going to tell you how I think the Lord is bringing it to a point. So some of you, this was before your time. So then you're welcome. I'm just bringing you up to speed. You can do the one from Neil, the colorful one. Yeah. This one, thanks. You can just put it on top of the other one. It's fine. So this was the first one. So this is really a picture of what the Lord has done through us as a church and as a congregation in this area and what he calls us to. And I will leave it here in this one at the back so you can look at it afterwards as well. It's UCT. Neil designed this one. It's UCT. There's a Jamison Hall. There's a Jamie Stairs. There's a Belmont Fountain. The Lord spoke to us as a congregation about breaking open the ground. Okay, so you can see the ground is breaking up. This comes from Hosea 10. It's a spiritual concept. So the Lord says, break open your fallow ground that I might come and sow righteousness. So spiritually, that is praying, that is living a righteous life, that is reaching out, that is living the life with Christ, that in the atmosphere, in the spiritual atmosphere, breaks things open. So when ground is broken open, you can sow into it. When ground is very hard, it's not broken open, there's no point sowing because it's very few seed will grow. That's why we first break the ground. So this is what we've been doing as a congregation for many years from the beginning. And God spoke to us from the beginning that he gives us a seed, that he grows it as a tree. The root of Jesse is the word God gave us. And that over the years, God kept on showing me visions of how this tree is growing. And this is how big it became. So at the end of last year, I saw this vision and the tree was big. It was bigger than Jamison Hall. Obviously, we have Jamison here because it is a strategically very significant place in Cape Town. It's a high place. It's on the mountain. It was built in the form of an Egyptian temple. And obviously, Jamison and Rhodes also playing key significant roles in Cape Town, spiritually speaking. The summer house, also a significant point. We have someone blowing the shofar. So God showed me this tree, and Neil made lots of birds here. There's a scripture that says all the nations will flock to you and nest in your branches. Obviously, a calling on us as a congregation for the nations. And God showed me this tree, and the leaders came together at the end of last year, and we had a prayer meeting. And in the prayer meeting, clear as a bell, God showed me the tree burned down to the ground. So I cried, and I thought, oh my goodness, what is this? And someone else brought a word, and they said, no, the Lord tells us to give up the church like Isaac. It's like Abram gave up Isaac, so we just gave it up. So as the leaders of the church, we gave it up to the Lord. We said, it's not our church. Leaders, not just being me and Raina, all the district leaders, the elders, the deacons. We said, Lord, it's not our church. This is your church. The Lord did really a big work in our hearts to come and remind us as leaders that it's not us and we don't own anything. It's the Lord's work. And we are just privileged to be stewards. So there the Lord really shifted our hearts. And afterwards the word came that the Lord is burning it down because it's like when before some seasons they burn the fields down so that it can grow. If you don't do it, it doesn't grow. So it's really a new thing that the Lord wants to bring. And then so what the Lord showed us was that there would be this season, and you can read more about it at the back, and then the warrior, really a season of warfare and pressing in. And you can go read the description at the back as well. We made these prints of the original artworks so that if people wanted to buy them. And I sense that there are specific people that the Lord would want you to have this in your house. So just come speak to me and we can negotiate. But I'm really like, I will just check this with Raina. But I might sell them even below cost price. The cost price on these things are high. But because if we feel like it's the right person where the Lord wants it in their house to declare of the season, because prophetic art speaks. So if it's in your house, it's a continual declaration. So we had the warrior, and then we had, and we sold the print of it, so I can't show you. But the third one, it's a heart with trees growing out of it. And I'm going to read this to you. Now, I believe this is one of the three things that I'm going to tell you that I feel that we're in now, and that's going to be happening next year. And this is the one. And I believe the Lord has worked us through that season and through this one. And I believe the Lord is now, with some of us beginning, with some of us already finished, some of us still in it, the Lord is working in us the emotional healing of the heart. So I'm going to read to you the artist's description of their painting. A visual declaration of life, according to the promise in Isaiah 55 verse 13, instead of the thorn shall come up a cypress tree, instead of the briar shall come up a myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name of renown, for an everlasting sign and memorial to his praise, which shall not be cut off. The shape of a heart is constructed through the illustration of trees. The trees visually outline, but also in themselves represent life. They make up this heart with growing life. It's an emphasis on the fullness of life through God's work of healing and deliverance in our hearts. Restored life in areas of brokenness and captivity where thorns were taken out. This is his promise to us who believe, a heart that is fully alive. And I want to encourage you to let the Lord show you, what about this is he doing in your life? A restored heart that is fully alive. And especially in the areas of parenting and marriage. And it can be in any areas, and we want to trust the Lord for that. But also in those two, and then things like identity. I believe the Lord is specifically stirring. And next year we're going to be collaborating with Yaku and Lee from Century City Church, the pastor couple there, and they have a real anointing for marriage and parenting. And we will still determine exactly what it's going to look like, but hopefully it will even be early in the year that we have a sermon series with them that they will come and present specifically on parenting, marriage, those kind of things. So I really want to already invite you to that. And then next year in June, the 1st to the 10th of June, Derek and Beryl are coming, Puffett, from LL Ministries in Pretoria. They are incredibly gifted, experienced, 70s age, really wisdom, anointing in all the areas of inner healing. They're going to be up from that whole 10 days, and we're busy discussing with them, but we're going to work in all kinds of training and importation and healing sessions with them. So that's going to be an amazing opportunity. So you might even want to just book that in your diary now. Don't go on holiday over that week. and we'll see, you know, what we can make available, something in the evening, something in the morning, something over the weekends. But really allow the Holy Spirit to also work in your heart. If this is what he's doing with you, the healing, really let him do it and set out that time for that. And we'll see what we'll possibly do is, leading up to that time in June, set out a few weeks. Maybe we'll say like 4 weeks every Thursday evening or something. Then I'll meet with everyone. We'll get some material from them and we'll prepare our hearts and do the prep work so that when they come, we can really jump in and let the Lord do what he wants to do. So that is the one thing, is the healing. Let me just see if I wanted to say something about that more. Obviously, if you haven't done encounters, then I really want to urge you also to prioritize that, whichever ones you haven't done, because a lot of them are also to do with healing, to really set out the time for the Lord to do this work in your heart. It's really a season. The healing of the Lord is for every day, for always. It's not going to pass. But I do believe that the Lord is specifically leading us into that. And how amazing if we can allow him to do that work. Okay, then if you can do the next one, Matthew, thanks. The last one is harvesting into the earth. And after that, I'm going to do that one. Thanks. The apostolic call propels us from the bread basket, which is South Africa. So it's a little bit dark, especially when the lights are dark. But this is the outline of Africa. There we go. So here's the tip of Africa. So there's two harvesters coming through the wheat fields. It's got the picture of a bull on them. Thank you. No, it's maybe. And it's they're led by the fire at night. Okay, so the way that the Israelites were led. So it's at night, but let me read you the description. The apostolic call propels us from the bread basket, which is South Africa, up into Africa and to the ends of the earth, making disciples of all the nations. Understand the present time. The night is almost over and the day is almost here. So this is still at night. Your salvation is nearer now than when you first believed. Yet he who watches over Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. His spirit leads us by the pillar of fire at night. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. The emblem of the ox on the harvester represents strength and persistence. Much increase comes by the strength of an ox. Psalm 92, my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. And actually, coincidentally, my sister's artwork is based on the same scripture. My horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I've been anointed with fresh oil. So this is the second thing that I believe we are currently busy as a church and where the Lord is calling us. And this is something we're always doing, but something that he's specifically putting his focus on is we're harvesting into the earth. We are answering the apostolic call to disciple the nations. So this is also something that you can bring before the Lord and specifically let him speak to you about who are you in this picture. You know, are you an intercessor? Are you a worshiper? Are you a seer? Are you one who sees? Are you one who declares? Are you one who supports? Are you one who gives? Specifically, what are you in this picture at this time? What has the Lord called you to be? Pray about it, and then, you know, the golden rule, if you can't find out what your place is, just one by one, do all the things. Go to intercession, go to serve at every place that you can, and you will figure out, you will feel it. You will realize where you need to be. So also something to ask the Lord about. And then we asked my sister this year to make a follow-up, yes. And what the Lord was speaking about was awakening the dawn, which is the scripture that Jeanette read. We will awaken the dawn. And just you see the guy. So we came from the night, and now it's the dawn. The guy's blowing the shofar, and there's a mountain, the mountain of Zion, in the background. You can see the sun is coming up. Oh, goosebumps. The guys are sitting around the fire, but they're not asleep. They're awake. They're ready and awake. They are readying both harvesting equipment and weapons, and the harvest is massive. As you can see, it's like the harvest is almost overtaking them, and this guy is giving the call. He's awakening the dawn, and he's waking up the mighty. So it's something that the Lord has definitely been doing, calling the mighty men, waking up the mighty. Do you want to explain it, Drona? 2 minutes. The Lord really spoke to him about it, so he'll explain it best. And then I can have some water.
I'm not sure what part of it to explain, because, yes, I know we preached 5 sermons on that. So I won't preach. Basically, I think it was earlier this year. It was about 1 week's time. I basically one morning woke up and I felt that's what the Lord said to me, wake up the mighty men. And I went to a kiddies party the next day, and my good friend was there. And, you know, out of nothing, you know, in this, you know, kids running around craziness, he says, no, the Lord said to him this week, wake up the mighty men. And there was another situation in church, and you know, someone was praying in the room, and I couldn't figure out who was praying there because all the stuff was around here. And eventually, you know, I just went in there. And the guy praying said, you know, he just felt this urgency, couldn't work, and he just had to come and pray. He just said that he feels he must wake up the mighty men. And so the Lord's really, was very clear in speaking to us about that. And that's been our vision for the year. And so and the Lord's really done that. And I'm sure most of you can actually see it happening around you. In people coming to Christ and waking up, but also old believers, you know, just myself as well. It's like there's been an awakening, in a sense. You know, you follow God and then you follow God, right? You know, it's like you're in step with the Spirit, and there's just the strength that comes. And so I believe that's what God established in us and did amongst us, and he's also given us the anointing to do. So we can step into people's lives that are open to God and actually call it forth, that they would awaken to what God has called them.
Thank you. So also the guys blowing the shofar, and 2 weeks ago we had the shofar watchman convocation. So every year, so Heinrich Titus is the head of shofar, Pastor Heinrich, and he obviously leads it, and every year they call all the intercessors and people who lead intercession from all the different congregations of Shofar. We all come together, we pray together, and Heinrich says, you know, what is the Lord saying? And we all pray together, and we hear what is the Lord saying. It's always a very precious time, and there's an amazing continuance through the years. So one thing the year would the Lord would say something, and the next year we would actually talk about what he said and how it happened or how it is still happening. Very precious. And this year at the Watchman Convocation, Heinrich said one of his, the key thing that he started with was the shofar. So our name as a church is shofar. If you didn't know, this is a shofar. It's a ram's horn. It's not a vuvuzela. Someone said the other day, not the same thing. Not the same sound either. A vuvuzela with a twist. Just looking for that description, yeah. But he said that the Lord is really bringing us back to the meaning of our name. And, you know, as a big shofar congregation, as the whole movement, we are a prophetic movement. That is what the Lord has called us for. The Lord calls every church to something specific, and the churches together, we are all the body of Christ, so we all have different functions. So this happens to be our calling and our function. One big part of it is to operate in the prophetic, and that is symbolized by the ram's horn. So in the biblical times, sometimes in your Bible you might read trumpet. Sometimes they translate it as a trumpet, but sometimes they're speaking about like a silver trumpet. But if you go and look at the original word, everywhere it's shofar, it's not actually a silver trumpet, it's this. This is the shofar. And it was often blown in war. It was a way of communication. It was also blown as celebration. And what it is it is a voice. It is a voice that speaks. So also what I want to tell you is, and if you come back to Sons of Issachar, you understand the times, something we need to continuously ask the Holy Spirit, show us what is the times and the seasons. Help us to understand that we don't live our lives merrily along like a hamster running in a wheel, and we're not aware of even things happening around us. And one of the, what did I specifically want to say about the shofar? Signs in the times. Yeah. I lost it. It will come to me. Yeah. What was it? Oh, yes. Okay. So we need to be aware of things happening around us and what it means. Okay. So what I just want to put out there, I'm sure, hopefully you know by now, that there was a prayer in Parliament and that it was amazing and that you should YouTube the videos because it was powerful and it was significant for our country, and it was significant for us as a church in our calling to the nations. There was a lot about repentance, reconciliation, and don't make a presupposition in your mind of what you think it was like. It wasn't like that. Go and watch the YouTube videos. Really, I was in tears with some of the things that Raina showed me because Raina was there. And so also one of the amazing things, Raina was, how many, 12, 20? I'll show for people there. 12 or 20, not sure. But Heinrich said, so they invited spiritual leaders and pastors were invited to go there to the Parliament prayer. And, you know, obviously not everyone they invited were able to make it. But apparently Heinrich said that the biggest group from one congregation was ours. We were the only congregation with such a big number of pastors there or leaders. And we're not better than anyone else. It's just another indication of our calling, our specific role that we play. Because we are prophetic, our hearts are drawn to that what the Lord is doing prophetically. And then there we are. That's where the Lord calls us to be, and then that's where we are. And then also, and do not ask me what it means, I don't know yet. But we need to be aware of things like Trump saying that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. Things are happening, and we need to be aware of the times and the seasons, and we need to be asking the Lord about what it means and what is he saying and what does it mean for us. So that was awakening the Lord and waking up the mighty men, and something that the Lord is still doing and something that you can ask him about as well. Lord, is my heart awake? Are you awakening my heart? And, I want to give you an easy way for the holiday. Just take three pictures of the three artworks I spoke about. Then you know the three things to meditate on. Okay, the heart, harvesting into the earth, and awakening the dawn. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you about where are you in the times and seasons. Let him show you what are the times and seasons happening around you and where are you in it. And then I'm going to finish off by sharing two things just specifically for us as a church. So I want to start with, and this is me speaking about next year, what I sense the Lord is doing. I want to start with the sound of the shofar. So Raina has been feeling for a while that the Lord says, prophetically, he wants us to make a declaration. Of course, we do this all the time, but we feel that the Lord is going to give us specific prophecies that we must come together and then declare that over Cape Town, South Africa, and Africa. And what we feel will happen is two things: breaking of the ground. So we are always continuously breaking the ground. So if you're a farmer, you would know that you work one piece of land, and then when you've got that, then you work the next piece of land. So the whole of Cape Town, South Africa, and Africa, not every person is in the fullness of Christ, healed, living in abundance. We're not, it doesn't look yet like heaven around here on the news and in the streets. So there is much ground to still be broken. Breaking the ground and then opening the wells. So I'm going to explain that just now. So what Raina's been feeling for a while is that the Lord is going to give us these prophecies, and we're going to come together and declare it. Obviously, when I pray, my prayer is powerful if it's a prayer birthed from God. When I pray and three people come and stand next to me, and I pray, but they listen to what I'm praying, and they say in their heart or out loud, they go, "Yes, Lord," that is agreement. It's still me who prayed, but Blessing, who went in his heart, "Yes, Lord," agreed with me. Now it's like Blessing prayed it as well. Now there's two people who prayed it. If all of you, if I pray now, and all of you really not switch out, clock out, switch off, if you listen to what I'm saying, and in your heart you saying, "Yes, let it be," then you're praying with me. Then my prayer has just gone, and the authority and the faith that I have, we've just added each one of you. So it has just gone like exponentially more powerful. Whatever faith you have, whatever authority you have, you bring it to the pool and it builds. You know, faith and authority, did you know it's quantifiable? Do you know it's not a mist or something? It comes in amounts. You can have less or you can have more, and it can add. So when you all put it together, it adds. The more there is, the more it does, the more it works. You can go to Bible school if you really want to understand that. So the point is that we want to get together, and we don't want to get together just us. We want to invite whoever loves the Lord and is in this area. We want to going to invite them as well. And, anyone that the Lord that it wants to be there, or that feels the Lord stirs them to be there, we're going to put our faith and our authority together when we make those proclamations. And the Lord has been confirming that's the right time. And all these things have also been happening around us to show that it's all coming to this point. And of course, it's not going to be that, and then, we all go to heaven. It's not the end. It's another point in God's plan. But we want to be obedient at every step. So practically what we're going to do next year, it's probably going to be, the date we're looking at is the 5th of May, but we still need to confirm because we're still negotiating with the Baxter. But we're asking people to write prophetic songs. And we've got a board together who are people who are musically and prophetically gifted, who's going to select from the songs. Anyone can submit a song. If you want to submit a song, you can just come and just get my number or come and speak to me, or my email, just send it to me. Anyone can submit, and the board's going to choose which ones they think are the ones God wants to be declared. We're all going to get together the evening. The specific singers are going to sing these prophetic songs, however many we select, and the rest of us are going to be there in agreement with our authority and our faith adding to that pool. And I believe we're really going to send something out to break open the ground and to open the wells. And so some people already know about it. Some people are already part of it, but you're welcome. And if you know of someone, you're welcome to invite them to come or to submit a song or to join in. There are lots of other places that people can also join in on the team. Hopefully, going to get some dancers. And if you have an idea, photographers, videographers, anything, any way that the Lord uses, the creativity as well. And it was really confirmation for me when Heinrich spoke about the Lord bringing back the sound of the shofar. And some people from Joburg are going to be submitting their songs. So quite a few people from here and there. So we are quite excited to see what the Lord puts together and how he's going to put that together. And then the last thing that I want to share is from Genesis. And this is also just to share with you what I believe the Lord is saying over us for next year. Oh, that would not be the first time that's happened. Oh, thanks, John. Please, I'm finished with that one. A few weeks ago, there was a tongue in the service, and I had the interpretation, and as the person was giving the tongue, I saw a word written, Rehoboth, R-E-H-O-B-O-T-H. Never seen the word, I don't know what it is, so I Googled it, Rehoboth. So I found it's in a scripture, only one scripture in the whole Bible, so that made it easy to know which one it's about. It's in Genesis 26, verse 22. It says, and he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, because he said, for now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And I went back to the context of the story, and I saw that it is Isaac, and he had married Rebekah, and he was doing well. He was really prospering, and he was living on the same land as Abimelech. And because he was doing so well, so obviously logistically, his animals were multiplying, so and his servants, etc. So he was taking up a lot of space, and probably his animals were eating up the grass, and they were using up the water. So Abimelech said to him, it's getting cramped, I need you to move out, find your own space. So he started moving out with his servants, and he felt that he must reopen the wells that Abraham dug, which have in the meantime been closed up again. So the prophetic imagery of a well, there's water underground. A well is you open up the ground that the water can come out and be life-giving. When it's under the ground, it's awesome, it's water, it's fully water. It's not accessible. It's not meaning something. But when it comes out, people can drink of it. And when they drink of it, it becomes a part of them. If you drink the water, becomes a part of you. You are, I don't know exactly, but a big percentage of you is made of water, and it becomes a part of who you are. So very big scriptural, symbolic meaning behind a well. God speaks about us having wells of living water inside of us, and that he opens it up, and that it becomes accessible to others. Obviously, Jesus is the living water. That's what the Bible says. So prophetically, water always has this symbolic meaning, and so do wells. And obviously, Abram had wells. Speaking of also the living water, Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, speaking of the blessing that's on Abram's life being extended to others. Then there was a time when they closed off the wells, speaking of cutting off the inheritance, cutting off the blessing, cutting off the access to God and to his provision and to the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes what is seen in the natural can just be an indication of the spiritual. So we had a well here in Ronnebosch. In fact, it was one of the first things that was built here. And I think they turned it into a fountain. It's this one. There's a picture of it. It was called the Belmont Fountain. It was right outside on the corner of Main and Belmont. There's that little kind of triangle in between the roads, just across that old, old church. It was there, and it was a heritage site. And many years ago, when we were praying and breaking the ground and in intercession, the Lord showed us some scriptures, and we went one morning early. We wrote the scriptures on papers, and a lot of us went all over Ronnebosch and this area. And we put the scriptures in places where we felt the Lord said we should. And we took little flags and all kinds of things, worshipped and prayed. And one of the places we went was the Belmont Fountain. And the feet of the fountain are the feet of Baphomet. Baphomet is just a visual representation of the devil. And it had a lot of symbolism on it, which is occultic. And we felt that the Lord said that when this whole area was started, this was one of the first things planted. So there was a dedication of the area to the demonic, to the devil. And this was symbolic of that. And also because it is a well, it's saying that spiritually, when people come to this area, what they will drink will be of the demonic. And we prayed and we left the things there. And of course, I mean, we'd love to take it down, but that's not going to be right. Or that's not going to bless God. That's not the way we do it. We don't go at night and bulldoze something. We've had those questions because that is the way sometimes things are approached, but God does not work that way. God doesn't need us to take things into our own hands and work through the strength of man. But we prayed, and then a few months later, we had an outreach here, and there was one dance, which was a victory dance, and I wasn't in it, but I was leading just how it's going to work. And I said to the girls, I feel like they should do it in the street in front of that thing. So obviously there's cars and whatever, but it's 3 minutes, we'll make a plan. And to all work out. And so that was in the weekend, and then the Sunday morning we came and we had that big outreach, and they came out to dance, and I was blown over. The fountain was gone. It was just gone. And later we found out that someone drove into it during the night, destroyed it. And the incredible thing is that they took it down, but they didn't put it back. Because, logically, they should, because it's a heritage site. Now, I don't know if you know, if a house is a heritage site, it can be like a bomb can explode there until only like the foundations are left. They will rebuild it the way it was because it is a heritage site. You may never take down a heritage site. That is the law. So the law is that if it gets destroyed, it must be rebuilt exactly as it was and put back. And to this day, it's not back. And I know what happened was it got put down that night by the car. Thank you. I hope the guy's okay. I don't know. But that the law directed us, and that morning we did a victory dance in that place. So we were the first ones there to claim that ground. And because we claimed it for the Lord, it is now His. And for us, that stands as a symbolic declaration of God over our town, that He is taking it for Him, and He is allowing us to work with Him in that. So every day when I see it's not there, I'm happy again. It's just such a beautiful picture of what God gives us and His faithfulness. So just to talk about fountains, so we believe also that the fountains will be opened, that we believe that are opening, and also it's also personal. The fountains are also inside of you. It's also letting the Lord open your fountain that He's put inside of you. But to finish off with Rehoboth, so myself and Raina were ministering in Namibia a few weeks, months, I'm not sure ago. And so crazy, the place where we were, and then we had to drive somewhere else, we drove past a town called Rehoboth. I couldn't believe it when I saw it on the map. The Lord is just confirming His word. What are the odds? There's one town like that in the country. It's not in our country. There isn't like a town like that in South Africa. Then we're in Namibia and we drive past the one Rehoboth that there is. We drive past it. So we took a picture by the name. We're like, wow. And then Raina said, this picture is just for us because it's totally random. And it's quite like where the signboard is. It's like just liquor bottles everywhere. It's not pretty. But Genesis 26, Isaac and Rebecca, Abimelech said, give me some space, get out of my space. So he went, he reopened the wells of Abraham that has been closed. So very spiritually significant, reopening the work of the Lord, reopening the spiritual flow, reopening the prophetic. And every time, so what happened is they opened one, and then some of the people around, they would come and say, no, thank you for opening, but actually this is ours because we live here, because obviously the people want the water. I'm not just going to give it to him. So he just, when that happened, he said, okay, you have it. Then he moved on. So he did this a few times. And verse 22 is the first time that he came to a well. He opened it. And the verse says, and they did not quarrel over it. So he's conquered enough of the land. He had a victory over the claims upon the land to a place where there wasn't a fight anymore about who owns the land and who owns that well and who owns the water, who owns the flow, who owns the life, who owns what people drink, who owns what is the influence, who owns what is the spiritual authority. And it says he called his name Rehoboth, And he said, for now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And I want you to stand, and I want to encourage you, and I'm going to just speak that verse over us. This is what I believe, and in your resting, believe the Lord is going to enlarge your spirit, and he's going to enlarge your capacity over this holiday, because next year, and starting now, the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. I want you to close your eyes, and thank you, Jesus, for your word. I thank you for your pictures. I thank you that you're faithful to bring things together over time, that you are incredibly amazing to show us things, to speak symbolically, to speak through scripture, to speak through your prophets, to speak through our hearts. And I sense that there are many of you here who's some of the things, or a lot of what I've said, it resonates with you. Like something in your spirit goes, yes, or you've read some of the scriptures, like Jeanette, she had the same scripture. You might have read some of the scriptures this week, and the Lord is saying, I'm speaking to you. I want to say what in Revelation it says, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the churches. I want to speak that over you. Father, we thank you that you're speaking. And I thank you, Lord, that I can declare into the spirit realm and over each person here. They moved from here and they dug another well and they did not quarrel over it. And we call the name Rehoboth and we say, for now the Lord has made room for us and we shall be fruitful in the land. I declare, Father, just over this area, thank you that you have made a room for your kingdom and that your kingdom shall be fruitful in this land. We declare, Father, that your kingdom shall be fruitful in Rondebosch, in the southern suburbs, in Cape Town, in South Africa, in Africa. We declare that your kingdom shall be fruitful in this land. We declare that you have made room for us and that we shall be fruitful in this land. I declare, Father, over businesses and people in business, that you're making room for them and that they will be fruitful in the land. And if you are in any way in business or called to that, I want you to agree with me in your heart, respond to the Lord whichever way you feel. Thank you, Father, that you have made room for each person in business, that you have made room for provision and that they will be fruitful in the land, that their hands will be fruitful, that whatever you put your hand to will prosper for the glory of God. Thank you that they will be fruitful in the land. Thank you, Lord, for each person that you've stirred that's going to work with this school youth next year, that they will be fruitful in the land. Thank you, Father, for a fruitfulness in the people, the high school students, a fruitfulness in the land. We declare a fruitfulness in the land. We ask, Jesus, for those people that you want to send us, Lord. We ask for all of them who are still in high school. We declare, Father, over the ones that you choose for this time, we declare that they will not sell their souls to the devil, Lord, but that they will encounter you, Jesus. We declare over them healing. We declare over them a connection to your kingdom, Father, that they will not waste time and build up things which they're later going to have to break down again, Father, but that they will start building in your kingdom. That shit will last forever. Father, they will start walking in who they are. I declare, Father, over each person in our congregation that healing next year, even now. Thank you for the healing that you've already done. But thank you for a point of things coming together next year, a convergence, a confluence, things coming together. I declare it over each life. Thank you that we can contend for that, Lord. We will contend for our healing. We will contend for the fullness and the wholeness that you have for us. Just sense for some people, it's like you have to make a decision now that you're not going to just let it be. Sera, sera, not like let's, you know, just let it flow. You have to contend for it. Jesus bought it at the cross. There is a full healing for you, but you have to contend for it. You have to say, I want it, and I'm going to take it, and I will have it. And if I have a setback, then I will just get up and do it, go for it again. Thank you, Father, for preparing our hearts for the work that you want us to do. I pray specifically for those that you call to facilitate this work, Lord. Thank you for those in our congregation with gifts of facilitating emotional healing, for those studying as counselors and psychologists. Bless them, Lord. I declare over them they will be fruitful in the land. Amen. Declare, Father, that you make room for them and that they will be fruitful in the land. Thank you, Father, as a body of Christ, that you strengthen us. We want to allow ourselves to be strengthened by you. I just sense that picture, you can go look at it as you walk out, the one of the heart. Lenka, who drew it, said that she felt the Lord said the heart was full of thorns, as the scripture says, and that every place where a thorn was taken out, a tree grew out of the heart. So the thing is, if there were never thorns, that would have been a perfect heart. It would have not yielded growth. And I believe the Lord is saying for a lot of us, do not despise things that you have to work through. Do not despise the challenges of your life, the difficulties that you've had in your childhood that you maybe have now, the challenges. Every thorn is redemptive. Every thorn, I declare over that, that it will be fruitful in the land. The thorn will be taken out, and that the place where it was will be fruitful in the land. There's going to be growth, and trees are going to come from it if you yield it to the Lord. If you're willing to yield it to the Lord, then the fruit will come. The trees will grow if you're willing to open up the wound, let him take the thorn, and let him grow through it. The fruit will come. I speak that over thorns. I speak over every heart, Lord, that has thorns in it. I declare over those thorns that their time is over in the name of Jesus. I ask God that you would gently lead us to a place of surrender and of allowing you, trusting you to do that work. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to stir in us, and you're already stirring in many hearts, a capacity to trust you. Just sense as we were praying the last few weeks with Yaku and Lee, and as churches, we're starting to work together more, and just sense the Lord says he's really given us as a church a gift of faith, and he wants to grow it. Without faith, we can do nothing. But with faith, there's nothing that we cannot do. There's nothing that God cannot do through us. So I thank you, Father, that you rise up faith in hearts. You know, your faith is not going to come. Your faith might increase if you're fast. But your faith is not going to come by, you know, doing a 30-day fast and just grinding. Maybe it will increase by that if the Lord leads you to do it. But a lot of your faith is going to come from overcoming the challenges in your life. And taking on other people's challenges in prayer and overcoming that. Your faith is going to grow every time you take out a thorn out of your own heart or someone else's and you trust the Lord to grow through it. And for some of us, that's a decision that you even need to make now, and you need to express it to the Lord. You need to tell him, I'm willing, God. And it's okay to be honest. It's okay to say, I'm scared. It's okay to say, how can I trust you with this thorn? How do I know that you're going to take it out gently? How do I know that there's not just now going to be a bleeding hole? How do I know I'm going to be able to contain this bleeding? Ask him, work out why you feel that way. Let him work you through it. Don't avoid it. Don't avoid the confrontation. And don't be scared to ask. Ask him and work him through it, because that's where your faith is going to grow. Thank you, Father, for just the increase of faith. Thank you, Father, that we can all yield ourselves to you. Thank you, Lord, that I can really bless each person here with rest. I declare over each person, Lord, rest, that they will receive your rest, Lord, just the fullness of it. Thank you for times in your presence. Sense there's many of you that's going home to families where it's going to be hard, where you're not looking forward to it, or you feel like, especially you're going to an environment where you cannot connect to God, where it's not allowed, where there's no space for it, where the atmosphere is not conducive. I just sense the Lord is saying, I'm above that. I'm so much bigger than that. It's going to be in the little things. You're going to see me. You can rest in me. You're going to find me. I'm going to be there. I went before you. Do not fear. Do not open your heart to fear. Trust me. Come with me. Seek me in the little things, in the moments. Be with me. Be in my presence. I will be there. I'm with you. Do not fear as you go. Thank you, Father, for good rest. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you bring these things to our minds. Father, and that you work your work in us, and that we will be ready, Father, for next year, Father, as we're ready to take in the room that you have made for us and to be fruitful in the land. Thank you for a place of rest and not works. Thank you that we don't have to earn it, but that we can surrender into it. And we trust for that. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to worship the Lord, and you can even, as we worship, let these